In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome this morning. Most people, whether they're regular churchgoers or not, know the very well-known hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer." It's sung at churches, but it's also sung at rugby matches and in other secular settings. The first four lines are these, and you know them, but I'm not going to sing them. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrims through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Hold me with thy powerful hand. The words don't say, hold my hand, but hold me. Hold me, all of me, the entirety of me. Hold me, as in protect me, defend me, shield me. Not just part of me, but my whole being. The speaker, the writer of this song, exhorts God to guide and to hold. The image is one of complete trust in God. This morning, here at St. John's, we need to be held by these powerful hands of God. Many, if not most of you, will have received our vicar's email during the week, sharing the very sad, the tragic news of the passing of a much-loved parishioner and friend, Rollo. Responses to that email have expressed, of course, profound sorrow and love for Rollo and his family, and have expressed a promise to pray. Peter, our vicar, will communicate more when he can, and of course he and I offer our full support to anyone at all. Our deepest, deepest condolences are extended to this beautiful family who are in our constant prayers, and I know that they are in your constant prayers too. Right now, the St. John's community, and especially a much-loved St. John's family, need to be held by God. Of course, it's true at any time, but in times of loss and sorrow, God's protection and compassion are ever more a source of comfort. When life buffets us around, we need the steadfastness of God, which we read about, which we sang about in our first hymn. We need to feel, and we need to know, that we are protected and cared for. That in our vulnerability, there is God, strong and tender. As immutable as only a sovereign God can be, but a God whose love is as close to us as the skin on our face. Friends, our world needs to be held. Tomorrow marks the first anniversary of the first government announcement here in Victoria of a known case of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Tomorrow is its first anniversary. A year ago, few could have imagined what would happen here in Melbourne and around the world, what every person has had to deal with and continues to deal with: illness, mortality, and incalculable changes to everyday life. And I'm feeling it myself because my own family in England are suffering greatly through COVID, and several of them are very unwell. Nearly 100 million infections worldwide in a year, and over 2 million souls lost. We thank God that a vaccine is now available, and we pray that the most vulnerable and poorest countries can also access necessary vaccines. Yet even with this miracle of a vaccine, the virus ravages on in large parts of the world, and the updates daily remain stark. Australia is spared the worst of it, for which we do thank God, but many have suffered, often on their own. Even with the hope that comes rightly from medical progress and vaccines being rolled out, the world is exhausted by COVID. And our country Australia needs to be held. On Tuesday, the 26th of January, Australia commemorates, in different and sometimes fraught ways, our history and the story of our nation. It is a history of undeniable injustice to First Nations people, and Tuesday marks an undeniable day of pain for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Yet there is hope for reconciliation and justice. Among other efforts, can I commend to you a Christian non-denominational movement called Common Grace. It's a movement of people, a lot of young people, following Jesus and working for justice. It seeks to navigate the many differences, including political differences, to come together for the common good, discover common ground, and share in God's common grace. Their online service is at 7:30 tomorrow night, the theme of which is Change the Heart, Tuning In Together. In the narthex, or at the back of the church, there are 20 copies of the order of service for tomorrow night's service. And even if it's not possible to join people around Australia online, including many Anglican congregations, and I'll be zooming in as well, if you can't go onto that or into that service, have a look at the booklet. It's a great resource of prayers and reflections. The service is led by a very well-known Aboriginal woman, Auntie Jean Phillips, a profoundly Christian woman. So please, feel free to take an order of service home, and if we run out, and if you're interested, please just Google Common Grace. This morning, St. Paul's Cathedral is holding its service, marking Australian Sovereignty Day and Australia Day. And it's a service of prayers for common grace that will seek God's peace for the agony of soul and spirit many of our sisters and brothers still experience. I'm sure many of you would have watched the inauguration of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and been struck by the youth poet laureate Amanda Gorman. In her poem, she included these words which I think speak to Australia as well as the US. In every known nook of our nation and every corner called our country, our people, diverse and beautiful, will emerge, battered and beautiful. In the Common Grace Order of Service for tomorrow night, one of the prayers ends like this. Jesus, we thank you that we have the opportunity for relationship and reconciliation. It's a prayer of hope and reconciliation in Christ, and hope and reconciliation with each other, and a very strong sense of this country being held by God. Life has times of great joy and delight. It also has times of great reflection and heartache. In times such as these, we need help and we need rest. Saint Augustine prayed to God many hundreds of years ago, "You have made us for yourself, and our soul is restless until it rests in you." The psalm sung by our choir so wonderfully this morning is Psalm 62, part of which is printed in the pew sheet. The opening lines are not included, and they go like this. Only in God is my being quiet. From him is my rescue. Only he is my rock and my rescue, my stronghold. I shall not stumble long. The psalm keeps repeating this word, only, only in God. The psalm was probably written by King David, fleeing his son Absalom, who wants to take over the throne. David is a king, yet this psalm is a simple acknowledgement that even a great king in desperate trouble finds protection and safety in one source alone, God. Life can be uncertain. And as the psalmist said, like a leaning wall or a tottering fence. We've all experienced this. In contrast, God is a stronghold, a rock, a shelter, a rescue, a fortress. Only in God is David's inner being, his whole person, his whole nephesh or soul, quiet. And only in God is our inner being, our whole person, our nephesh or soul, truly quiet. Our soul isn't an invisible holy entity that no one can see, but our whole person, our whole lives, all that we have and all that we are. This is what the psalmist is saying, that in God we can find rest and quiet for our whole body, mind and spirit. Trust in him at all times, O my people. Pour out your hearts before him, for God is our rescue. This world, for all its fragility, is still the world that God so loved that he gave his only Son to love us. God's Son Christ invites us every day, come to me, all who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Our grief, our worries, our bewilderment about the twists and turns of life, all can be laid before God in silence, without explanation or words or promises or even understanding, because some things in life appear beyond our mortal comprehension. God, our stronghold and shelter, is our ultimate source of solace and comfort. The hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, tells us that we can exhort God to hold each one of us in his powerful hand. And trusting in God, we know that God does listen and God does hold us, no matter what. Amen.